up on it, and we can go from there. Well, no, they're just saying, what we should do this morning here at Harry, Augusta, I don't know, Heritage, I don't know, that's Heritage, the last thing we did must be Heritage. Before we get started, let's sing a song. Let's sing a song. Let's sing a song together. And that song is, because when our ancestor, Douglas and I are going to teach you African-American culture, and this song, our ancestors, they were not allowed to show each other affection when they would meet up together at maybe the marketplace or where they would meet up to a funeral or something. They couldn't do it on a Sunday, but they had to entertain the slave owners and their friends. They were not allowed to show affection. So they had to think of a way to do it. And the way that they did was how they did everything else. They sung the song, "So Glad I'm Here." And they would just sing that song, and each other knew that they were glad to see each other there. And we're going to sing that song this morning to let each other know and to let Augusta know that we are all glad to be here this week for both of you.
So glad I'm here. Yes, I'm so glad I'm here.
Come on.
Children, I'm so glad I'm here. In Jesus' name. Oh, yes, I'm so glad I'm here. Yes, I'm so glad I'm here. Children, I'm so glad I'm here. In Jesus' name. I'm gonna sing while I'm here. Yes, I'll sing while I'm here. Children, I'll sing while I'm here. In Jesus' name. Oh, yes, I'll sing while I'm here. Yes, I'll sing while I'm here. Children, I'll sing while I'm here. In Jesus' name. It was love brought me here. Yeah, love brought me here. Children, love brought me here. In Jesus' name. Oh, yes, love brought me here. Yes, love brought me here. Children, love brought me here. In Jesus' name. That's why I'm so glad I'm here. Yes, I'm so glad I'm here. Children, I'm so glad I'm here. In Jesus' name. Oh, yes, I'm so glad I'm here. Yes, I'm so glad I'm here. Children, I'm so glad I'm here. In Jesus' name.
You all, let me think about it. You all weren't singing. Now, you all were not singing. I mean, you were just, I know it's early in the morning, isn't it? But come on, let's just, don't just go through one verse. They got to open their mouths and sing.
So glad I'm here. Yes, I'm so glad I'm here. Children, I'm so glad I'm here. In Jesus' name.
Singing in the people that think that they can't sing. But you know, the first thing about singing is when you're with the group, is that you don't pay the person sitting next to you in attention. You just open your mouth and let it fly. The next thing is that put yourself into the song. When you put yourself into the song, it's a whole lot easier, and you get more out of it then. You know, in the black heritage, we have a different way of hand clapping than any other nationality. We clap in time and with rhythm, using our foot as an offbeat to our hand clap. And a lot of songs we sing, we clap like this. Let me see you do it. Come on. That sound, that foot is offbeat to what you're clapping. Okay, now, that's good. Now, even in the black heritage, we don't necessarily have to use that foot to keep that time. We can hear that thump in our mind and use our body as that foot rhythm like this. Not even hear that sound in there, but we hear it in our mind and still stay in time with rhythm, using our body as that rhythm, right on the rhythm. Now, there are some songs that we sing on the islands and the islands, and they have a different way of hand clapping, but still, in time and rhythm and using the foot still as an offbeat, we'll clap like this on some songs. Let me see you do that, come on. Some song you may find a singer, we may be clapping like this. Okay, that's good. We just want to get you kind of limbered up, you know. Now, there is a difference in a hand clap and a hand pat. A lot of people pat their hands, and there are some people that clap their hands. Now, in order to clap your hands, your four fingers has got to be close together, so can't no wind get between those four fingers and the other hand with the cup in it like that. And you beat those four fingers right in that cup like that. And you get a good hand clap. Now, take those same hands and do them just like I got mine, just like this, and beat them together. Now, how does that feel? It hurts. It stings. It burns. So therefore, when you call yourself clapping your hands and it begin to sting or burn, then you know that you're not clapping, you're patting. So that's the difference in a hand clap and a hand pat. Now, when teaching smaller children how to clap their hands, their eardrums are not strong enough for you to clap like this when you're teaching them. So you move up on their finger, on your fingers like this, and you teach them how to clap like that. And you teach them all kind of different rap with the clap like that. And they can understand this. And it wouldn't hurt their ears. Then the other clap. Okay, that's good. Now put your palms together like that. That's good. Now, whether you know it or not, you just had a lesson in hand clapping. You have the different sounds, the different tones of the hand clap. You got the baritone, tenor, and bass.
Story how when Noah went into, he preached this sermon for 100 years that it's gonna rain, you know, and the people were saying, oh, come on, he's heard this for 100 years, you know, and finally told Noah to go in and shut the door, lock the door, and God locked the door. And then when it began to rain, and after it rained those 40 days and 40 nights, then Noah had to send a bird out to see had the water begin to go down. And they made up a song about it, about Noah heist the window and let the dove come in. See, when the dove went out and came back in to have a piece of the olive tree, was it, and its beak. And then Noah knew that the water was going down. And on the sea islands, they sang this song a different way that they sang it on the mainland, like this afternoon. And then further in the week, we're going to teach you the Gullah language, and going to teach this afternoon at 6:30, isn't it, the Gullah language. But we're going to teach you, where is it?
In the chapel.
At the chapel at 6:30, the Gullah language. We're going to sing songs in the Gullah language. This song about Noah on the islands, they didn't sing it in the Gullah language. So undoubtedly it was made up on the south end of the island. Have anyone been to St. Simon's? Okay, on St. Simon's, it's the north end and south end. On the south end, the people do not speak the Gullah language. On the north end, they do. It's the same island. It's just like it's an imaginary divided line there. It's the north and the south end. And the people on the north end that were not exposed to tourists a lot, they spoke the Gullah language heavy. But the north end of the island, those people, south end of the island, they didn't speak the Gullah language. They've got a dialect, but it's not the Gullah language. And they undoubtedly made up this song on the south end of the island. Because if they had made it up on the north end, it would have been in Gullah. So it's Noah heist the window. Who knows what heist means? Raise the window. We don't hear the word heist anymore. But it said Noah heist the window and let the dove come in. Now I may say window, but it's window. That's my accent from that area off the coast of Georgia. And you may hear me say horse, but it's horse. So, I mean, you all wouldn't mind it, but the school children.
A lot
children,
of us know about horse, too. Yeah. Our people were horse traders.
Yeah. When you're in elementary school and colleges, you've got to say that right. But Doug is going to teach you first the way that they would sing it on the mainland. No, on the island. Then we'll go to show you how they would raise that same song and same words on the islands and the mainland.
As she was saying, there's three verses, you know, when you're saying Noah, heist the window, Noah, heist the window. Now, they didn't say Noah, they say Noah. You hear that R sound in there. Noah, heist the window, Noah, heist the window, and let the dove come in. Now, on the island, they just sung it with a straight key. They didn't raise it in any way, but on the mainland, they would raise one part of it. And so it would sound like this. I'm going to sing it through one time, and then we're all going to sing it together. Noah, heist the window, Noah, heist the window, Noah, heist the window, heist the window, and let the dove come in, Noah, heist the window. Dressed in red, heist the window, let the dove come in. Must be the children that Moses led. Heist the window, let the dove come in. Oh, Norah, heist the window, Norah, heist the window, Norah, heist the window, heist the window. That yonder dressed in white, heist the window, let the dove come in. Must be the children of Israelite, heist the window, let the dove come in. Oh, Noah, heist the window. Same song, same words, but it's just a little different in the way that they were singing and how they pitched. Nora, high's the window, Nora, high's the window, Nora, high's the window, high's the window, let the dove come in. Oh, Nora, high's the window, Nora.
Church. came to church, Pentecostal, and he didn't know what was going on. He didn't realize he was speaking in tongues. He didn't know what was going on in the service. So one of the pastors called him up and told him to come to up to be prayed for at the altar. And he received Christ. Christ said he would come into your heart if you ask him. He wanted Christ because it was taught in the message that morning. And this young man did not know anything. He didn't know anything about Baptist, Methodist, Holiness, nothing. And when we did communion, everyone know what communion is, like the Last Supper, you know. And he said to my daughter that evening, what are they doing? You know, when we were having communion. So, you know, it's just amazing how someone 30 years old knows not anything about religion. And this child, and I asked him, I had to say, did your mama take you to church when you were a child? He said, no. I said, did you go when you were grown? He said, no. So that's why I asked who knows about revivals, because, I mean, that made me know that everybody do not really know. They don't know. Okay, during revival time, I wanted to ask Doug to tell you about how they would have revival. Then we're going to set, and we're going to show you how years ago, you know, people didn't have pianos in churches and drums and whatever else, guitars and whatever we got today. So they had to make their music with their bodies and how they would use their feet to rock and make the music.
You know, it's amazing. Back in my hometown in our area, back in my hometown around Albany, Georgia, the people there still have revival meetings during the summer months. And it's amazing how a lot in other areas, how they begin to change, have revival meetings all year long. Well, there's nothing wrong with having revival meetings all year long. They got their heated pools and they have baptism anytime that they want to. But in the days when I was coming up, you didn't have pools. And you had to have revival meetings during the summer months because they didn't have the pools, the church heated pools, so they had to take you down to the creek or to the river or to a pond. And I was baptized in a pond. And so in later years, the churches began to change so that they got choirs. And now the choirs all do most of the song services. The audience don't do any singing anymore, hardly, like they used to do in the times when I was coming. The congregation did all the singing during the revival meetings. And someone would be singing a song, and at a certain time, the sinners, now in revival meetings in our area, during the summer months, they would have, each church in the area would have 2 weeks of revival meeting, they call it. The first week is called prayer week. The next week, the second week, is called the preacher's week. That's when they just only go the first week one time a day, and that's at night. The ladies would go in and start the services, and the men working in the fields, when they would get off work, they would go home. Sometimes they didn't have time to eat. They just kind of wash off, put the mules up, and they would come to the church. And when they get in, the men get in, then the ladies would close out their part of prayer service, and the men would take over. Then, during the preaching week, they would have two services, one at noonday and one at night. And they would outline and raise hymns. They would sing all kind of congregational songs that most about to be pushed out of the churches of today because they don't do that anymore. And I just love those old songs. And everyone that can outline a hymn doesn't necessarily mean that person can raise a hymn. Now, raising a hymn is, outlining a hymn is talking the words so that the congregation can understand them. And raising a hymn is singing those words in a tune. You can always tell when a person cannot raise a hymn because the first thing they will say when they get up, he can really outline it, but he cannot raise it. Say, I'm going to outline this hymn, and I thank someone for a suitable tune. That means that he cannot raise it. And if he tried to raise it, can't no one sing it but him because he's so out of tune. Now, when the preacher week start at the first church to start during the summer, preacher week start, then another church would start their prayer week. So rotate, they would have prayer week during the preacher week while in one church, And it just rotate all summer long until they get to the end. And your parents or other people of the neighborhood, if your parents wasn't going to church that night, they would take you. You would go from church to church all summer long. We'd be on the mourner's bench. Now, we had mourner's benches in those days. They don't have mourner's benches anymore. Mourner's benches, some of you may not know what a mourner's bench is. That means all the sinners that have, a person that have not confessed Christ, they would reserve two or three benches. Now we mostly have seats in the church. A lot of churches have seats, but we had benches. And they would reserve two or three benches for nothing but sinners to sit on those benches. Christians could not sit on those benches unless the benches were not full and it was more Christians there and they didn't have anywhere to sit. So the Christians could sit on those mourner's benches right along with the sinners. But they would not sit there if there wasn't, you know. But if the sinners fill it up,
they, yeah. But you keep going back and forth like you're a Christian 1 week and a sinner the next week?
No. No, once you confess Christ, that was it.
That's it. And what about if you did something wrong? You still were a Christian. You still weren't a sinner, though.
Yeah. No. If you did something wrong, you had to repent.
Yeah,
okay. So the first 2 weeks, in the church that started the revival, you would go to that church the first 2 weeks. If you didn't get religion, as they call it, then they would take you to the next church. And the next. And the next. And the next. All summer long. If you didn't get religion that summer, start all back over the next summer. but that's the way they did it in those days.
That's the reason they had the summertime, so the beasts
hop. And so, out of that, I learned a lot. I learned a lot of congregation songs. I learned a lot of how to. I learned how to outline hymns. I learned how to raise hymns. I learned the different things about the hymn, like the common, long and short meter hymns. I learned the difference in those. And so, and that's how I learned, because I stayed on the mourner's bench a long time. For years, I stayed on the mourner's bench. So if I had to go and hear it every night, all summer long, each summer, so I learned how to outline and raise hymns. Not only that, did I learn how to outline and raise hymns, I learned how to preach, too. I learned how to preach. I could imitate any preacher that I heard during those years. I could imitate them and preach. But in outlining the hymns, and that's how they would do it in those in that area. And right today, they do it like that in the area during the summer months. They don't have revivals during the winter months in that area. But other areas they do. They do have pools out in the yard. Some have pools in the church. And some still go down to the creek or to the pond and baptize, which is very lovely. That is a beautiful sight.
Didn't they outline because they didn't have books?
How that really came about, the outlining of hymns is because during the time of slavery, the slave was not allowed to read, to learn to read. Only those that worked in the house was allowed to learn to read, because when they sent them to the store, they didn't want to bring back anything. They wanted to know what they were bringing back at all times. But they were not allowed to teach the others to read. So after freedom, those that could read, when they began to have churches of their own, then they had to read the words to the ones so that they could sing them. So that's how it became, how it got to be the outlining and the raising of hymn. Now I'm going to do just a little of that, then I'm going to do a congregational song to show you the difference in the meters of the hymns. Now, first I will do the common meter with Amazing Grace. It will say, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound to save a wretch like me." Amazing Grace. they start moaning like that, that was a clue. And the sinners knew when they start doing that, to get on their knees for some Christians to come down and pray for them. And sometimes when they go down on their knees, two or three people will get up to come down to pray. And when they would get up and they see each other coming down to pray, they wouldn't go back like some of them do today, go on back and sit down and let one person come down. They all come on down and kneel. And you've been there so long, so you know when a person is about to end their prayer. And that's time for you to get up off your knees. So when the first person ends their prayer, you begin to go to get up off your knees and the other person start there, so you got to stay down there. Sometimes you got to stay down there through three prayers on your knees. And so that was a way that they did in those days. And that was a common meter singing in Amazing Grace. Now you'll notice the difference of the meters. As I said, meter common meter is not so long. Long meters, you hold your words longer. The short meters, you don't hold them that long. So I'm going to sing this one in long meter. That awful day will surely come, upon it I'll make haste. That awful day will surely come. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, the same rich like you said, amen. See how they wasn't so much there. That awful.
Okay, we want you to say.
That awful day will surely come, upon it I'll make haste. Come. judge and pass the solemn test when I must stand before my judge and pass the solemn test.
Okay, those people didn't sing just to be saved. I said that in the beginning. Okay, who can tell me what they were saying when I stand before my judge and pass the solemn test? Who knows what they were saying when they were talking about that? What they said?
Well, we all have to stand before the judgment bar of God.
That's it.
I knew you would expect you to answer. What they were saying was, when they stand before God and judgment day, that's what they were saying, and pass the test.
Yes.
And you all know what that is about. About whether you have lived enough to go to live with the Lord. That's what it is. That's why I say they weren't just singing just to be saved. I just wanted to point that out for you.
Now, just a little of a common meter. Just a little of the short meter to show you. The short meter in Moses is what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege is to carry everything to God and pray. So you see, you have the difference. There's only three meters, and that's the long, comma, and short meter. So you had how 3 meters of the hymn raising in the church is doing revival meeting. Now.
Okay. In that song, what they were saying was, what a friend we have in Jesus. And the part I like about it is, you can carry everything to him in prayer. You know, that's what prayer is about. We didn't come to teach this, but that's what prayer is about. That's what these songs is about. Because he's a friend. And when you got a friend, and you really got a friend, you got a friend indeed. And you found that in Jesus. You found that in him, where you can take everything to him in prayer.
That was important to the slaves, too.
Yes, that's how they survived.
That's right.
That's how they
take this to the Lord. They couldn't take anyone else. But the Lord was always there.
They were even sometimes afraid of each other, because there were some who were trying to climb up and try to get good on the masters and the overseer side, and they would undermine the other ones. That's like we all do today. So they knew that if you can go to God, he's not going to tell anybody. He's not going to undermine you. So as I said, they weren't just singing just to be singing. Bear that in mind this week.
You know, and also during the revival meeting, they sung all types of different congregation songs. I mean, and they are the beautiful songs that could be sung, but as I said, they're taking most of them out of churches now. You go and it's sad that you sit up there and you're sitting like you're looking at a television with your arm on the bench, and the choir's doing all the singing, and the congregation don't get a chance to sing that much. But in our church, we do sing. The congregation do all the singing. We are starting the choir, hitting on so good, so we just let the choir alone. Just everybody just sing your song and testify.
But Satan always gets in the choir.
Oh yeah, Satan starts right in the choir. In a church, that's where he first starts, right in that choir. Once you get that choir, the choir can tear up a church. We saw him creeping in, and we just broke up the choir before the choir break up the church.
Because everyone. inquires, I don't care how holy you are or how you try to live. Satan was in the choir in heaven. And you know, don't care how good they're trying to live. Everybody wants to be the star of the show. You know, everybody wants to get up on Sunday morning and sing and be seen. And it's two or three in there that wants to be those every Sunday morning. So that's why the choir is an asset to the church, but it can be a downfall. We didn't come in here
for you. When you sit in church and you don't sing, you're really just a looker.
That's right. You're being entertained. You're really being entertained.
And you're not really part of it.
That's right.
Do you find that that's happening in the...
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
It's really happening.
On the sea islands and everywhere you go.
Right.
It is. And then if you're just a watcher, pretty soon you don't feel like you belong in the jungle.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Like they said, now they've got the churches on the West Coast is where you can drive in. Yeah. Go in the drive-in, put the speaker in your car. You don't have to even take off your night clothes. Drive in.
Now, that's getting too warm. And you know, all, as I said, and also they sing a lot of congregation songs, and they're getting away from it. And I just love to keep them up. That's why we travel far and near. We sing and go into senior citizen homes. We sing all these songs. It just really enlightened them because they hadn't heard them in so long. And so one of the songs that we usually sing, someone, you know, after the sinners get up off the bench, someone would say, "Oh, Lord, I cherry, let me ride. Oh, Lord, I cherry, let me ride. Oh, Lord, I cherry, let me ride. Oh, Lord, I cherry, let me ride." And as you notice the way I was doing my feet and clapping my hands, and they were rocking. They really get themselves.
Let him sing it first.
Oh, Lord, I cherry, let me ride. Oh, Lord, I cherry, let me ride. Oh, Lord, I cherry, let me ride. Oh, Lord, I cherry, let me ride.
You see how they would use their feet to make music and their hands.
Oh, that sounds good. Shows you another word when you put yourself in and keep going and they stop. Sometimes they stop, and that's all you could hear is the feet and the hand clapping. The feet and the hand clapping. And you know, and back in those days when I was a boy, they didn't have as many cars, they didn't have as many airplanes in the air and helicopters and things like that. And there wasn't a lot of pollution in the air. And at night, the voice would carry a long ways. And even in the day, farther back will carry a long way because there wasn't a lot of pollution in there. Now your voice don't carry as much in the night as you do in the day, in those days. And so you be going to church and you hear them singing those songs, you kind of late, you get in the trot. Because you want to get there, you just feel it. You get in the trot to get there because you can hear it coming through those pine trees, pecan trees, oak trees. You just hear the voices, just hear that good singing coming on there. And you, boy, you want to get there. I got to get there. You start running. Get to church. That's right. That's just the way it was in those days. Okay, now you all got an idea of how to say. I said, "Oh, Lord, I cherry."
Come on, let me ride. Come on, though.